This is Stories of Strength by MuscleTech, personal and inspirational tales that redefine strength.
Welcome back to Stories of Strength, a podcast where we share personal and inspirational tales that redefine strength. I'm your host, Jay Cardiello, and today I was able to sit down with our real-life Superman, actor, chief creative officer, and global brand ambassador for MuscleTech, Mr. Henry Cavill. We talk about the work he's been doing with MuscleTech, their mission, and about what he looks to as inspiration when finding his own inner strength.
Well, Henry, thank you so much for joining us today. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you again. So, Henry, I always look to people for inspiration. Growing up, getting in shape as an athlete, I looked to my father. He was a very big inspiration. Who do you look to for inspiration with your workouts?
That's a really good question. I think it varies enormously depending on where I am, how hard I'm working, the immediate influences on my life. But one consistent one has always been, whether it be the Royal Marines or Special Forces, because I have a brother in the Royal Marines and also plenty of friends who have come from Special Forces. And I've heard all their stories. I know how hard they've worked. I know the kind of people that they are as well. And that is the kind of thing that when I'm physically suffering a little bit, I think, yeah, well, I mean, when I was younger, and even now, even though the time has passed, my window has passed, I wanted to join the armed forces. And so I do think about it a lot when I'm in a physical discomfort. I'm thinking, hey, man, this is not a sniff on what you'd have to go through if you were passing selection or if you were on a particularly difficult op. And so I do use that as an inspiration to keep me kicking when I'm feeling down or feeling tired.
That's interesting because I always say if I were to go back, I have one regret. I always wanted to be in the armed forces. I always wanted to be Special Forces. So it was an interesting,
Yeah.
Now you guys have a lot going on with MuscleTech. Can you tell me a little bit about MuscleTech's Strength Redefined campaign and what that's all about?
Absolutely. That is about us. That is about the individual. That's about the person sitting at home. It's about the thing which we all have, and it's that thing which we will appreciate with having friends in Special Forces or the desire to join Special Forces. It is that inner strength. It is that thing which is an ingredient which lives in all of us, and it's just about keying into it and expressing it in whichever way you wish. And if that wants to be a physical way, then perfect. But it's also expressed, as a lot of people have experienced over the pandemic, whether it be a first responder and we're all locked at home and they're going out there and they're on the front lines against COVID, or whether it be a parent who's still at home like yourself and having to raise the kids. And that takes strength as well. It's the message that strength takes more than just muscle. And so the campaign is focusing on giving everyone that access point to doing what they want with themselves physically and beyond.
Now, talking about strength, what is your typical diet and fitness training protocols like?
It varies depending on what I'm trying to achieve, whether it be a shoot for MuscleTech or whether it be a maintenance program for a movie which doesn't require shirtlessness but wants to keep me in shape, or whether it be something which requires me to get shirtless, or whether it requires me to be, I'm training for the next job rather than the present job. And I'm putting on mass or something, or really cutting weight hard. It does vary enormously. Right now, I'm on more of a maintenance program. So it's I'm doing hypertrophy training. I'm also doing lots of stunt training and learning choreography for my next job. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm using that as a cardio and the hypertrophy training for the aesthetic. And I'm also trying to get in a little bit more of a interval sprint training in the morning to build my engine.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. So for you personally, what is the key to sustainable long-term health for what you're trying to achieve with your body?
For me personally, okay, I would love to speak to people about how maybe they can use this as an example to access it. But first I'll answer for me personally, because my kind of life is a little different from the average person. I'm skipping about the place all the time. I'm in a different country every 6 months. And it's not that I don't get the same sense of routine or access to facilities. And so for me personally, and this is something which I have begun investing in, it's making sure that no matter where I am in the world, I have my own facility to train, or I have the facilities to do a morning workout before I go to work. And it is an investment, a serious investment, but it's something that's going to pay off enormously over time, because there won't be the darn it, I just can't get into that gym, or there's not a gym nearby, or I don't have the equipment here, or that gym is too photograph happy, so I don't feel like I can go there after a long day and train. And so that's where my personal investment is going into. However, to speak to everyone else about it, which still applies to me, it's the finding that thing that you enjoy about it and accessing that. And for me recently, after getting over my hamstring injury, I was, because I injured it sprinting and because I was required to sprint again on set, we had a sprinting focus for the recovery of it. And I found that I really, really enjoyed it. And I was a little bit quicker than I thought I was. And the more I trained, the quicker I got. And that for me became something really exciting and something I really enjoyed. And so now I've started to integrate that into my training, as I mentioned earlier, a bit more in the way of interval sprints in the morning to build the engine, because that has a double benefit. One, it actually is something I enjoy. And I may go to bed thinking, right, I'm going to smash those sprints tomorrow, not go to bed going, ugh, I've got to get up at this time and I've got to drag myself into doing this. And secondly, it's also going to build my engine. And when it comes to working long hours for long periods of time with little to no break, it's important to be fit, because it's that fitness that carries you through and makes you efficient on your daily basis. And so, yeah, I would say for everyone out there, the way of maintaining that kind of wellness is finding something that you enjoy. And that's mm-hmm. that's key, whether it be running, whether it be rowing, whether it be the gym, whether it be whatever, whether it be climbing a rock wall. It's just something physical, for physical wellness anyway, that you enjoy, and accessing that and using it to help you.
How's your hamstring feeling?
Hamstring is okay. I think there's a bit of a psychological aspect to the hamstring as well.
Sure.
It was a pretty serious tear. It was a grade 2 tear. And I was told that if it had been even slightly worse, it would have been a rupture. I'm definitely slightly hesitant with it. And just the other day, I was unloading a squat bar, and the collar dropped to the floor. I was about to drop my toe, and I just kicked my heel back. And that's how the injury happened. It was a hypercontraction of the hamstring rather than an extension. And when I kicked it back, I suddenly felt in that point of injury where it happened. And I thought, oh, was that psychological, or is that an actual physical response? And it was a really difficult thing to balance. And so it's actually been an interesting process, and it's okay. I mean, I can sprint, I can do all the workouts I need to do. But every now and again, I get that little bit and I'm like, oh, okay, got to remember to do all the necessary pre-work and post-work in a workout to make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Yeah, as an athlete, I had my series of injuries. One in particular, I broke my spine, actually. I did 16 major surgeries. Yeah, I had 16 major surgeries to put it back together. And one of the biggest things for me was supplementation.
Yeah.
And getting back the proper nutrients in my body. Can you take me through your daily supplement regimen?
Yes, my daily supplement regimen is, to go with the simple stuff, it is, well, hardly simple, but it's the platinum multivitamins to get all the right stuff going into my system to get it functioning properly. I will, of course, have my protein throughout the day, whether it be my morning shake, my evening shake, or my post-workout shake. And for that, I use 100% grass-fed whey protein. I also make sure I got the fish oils going in as well. My amino acids with the amino build, my BCAAs, that is something I'll have during my workout. If I'm trying to cut weight and there's, for example, a high ratio of protein to carbohydrates in my diet, I might switch my post or my pre-bed shake into amino acids, just so I don't go into a catabolic state at night, but I'm also not overloading the stomach and the system with protein. When I came off my injury and my physiotherapy, or my physical therapy, as you guys call it, I was in a place where I needed to prep for the Muscle Tech shoot. And my trainer was looking at me. I sent him all my progress photos and he said, right, we need to dance that line between losing weight and gaining muscle mass. Because I hadn't been able to train the way I wanted to train. I hadn't been able to cut weight. And so I started using Celtec Creactor before my workouts and also Celtec Elite post-workouts. And so I had all the right stuff going in. I had to make sure that I was in muscle protein synthesis rather than muscle protein breakdown, despite the fact that I was on rather low calories while I was doing.
Yeah, it's interesting. People don't understand this. There's so much intricacies just to get the body ready, especially when you're coming back from injury. And one of the big things, especially coming back from injury, is sleep. How important is sleep with performance, and what does your sleep routine look like?
Sleep is absolutely vital for me, and it is, thankfully I'm a good sleeper. So even when I'm worked to the bone and a little bit jittery before going to bed, as long as I put my phone down and everything before about half an hour before I go to bed, and I just make sure there's no light in the room, because we are constantly bombarded by digital lights everywhere all day long. I make sure there's no little red lights on TVs or anything. I don't even have a TV in my bedroom. And I just try and get as peaceful and quiet a sleep as possible. It's not always possible to get peaceful, especially in a city. But it's something I always aim for. If I need 8 hours, I'll be in bed 9 hours before I have to wake up and go with that. Sometimes that's not a luxury I have. So it'll be just get as much as you possibly can. And then catch up at the weekend, because recovery is vital for healing hamstrings, in my case, or even just recovering properly so you can keep on training and you're maximizing your training efficiency.
Yeah, I have a rule for my clients as well, myself. If I'm getting under 6 hours of sleep that day, the gym is not an option. So I always say that has to be a big ingredient. It's one of the most overlooked things. Yeah. People think that sleep, like, oh, you know, you got to grind, got to grind. No, you don't have to grind. You got to get your sleep in order to recover.
Absolutely.
Now I'm really big into the mental game, and I do the thing called we call a morning routine. So I wake up every day at 5 o'clock. I do what's called an incantation, where I say, by December 31st, 2021, IJ Cardio will accomplish this by doing this, this, and this. I journal, I read.
Yeah.
And I may take, if I have time to work out, and take an ice bath afterwards. Do you have any morning rituals that you subscribe to get mentally ready for your day?
It all depends, really. There's often so much going on. And I may have a big fight scene that day, or lots of dialogue to learn. Or the problem with filming is that there's a new challenge every day, which is normally unexpected. And it's just about readying yourself. it sounds silly. But it's something a history teacher of mine used to say in primary school, which was always expect the unexpected. And that's the kind of setup I have to have myself for. If I'm too steadfast in one path for the day, then the smallest thing can then sort of rock me off that track. And so it's about going in with a sense of mental readiness for anything that may happen that day. And so I don't necessarily have a morning routine like that. It's normally just getting in there. And I did dabble in some stoicism recently. And it's just reminding myself in the morning that it's the things that you can control that you need to be focusing on. The things that you can't control, you're going to have to let those go and just deal with them rather than focusing too much and spiraling out into a dark place in your head. And so for me, it was always just reminding myself each morning, going, hey, focus on the things that you can control and make yourself better to control them. And the things that you can't control, leave them be.
That's a great quote. I have a good quote for you. It's 5% of people in this world make things happen, 15% watch things happen, and 80% don't know what the heck is going on. My dad always said, never give yourself the opportunity to ask what if. So it was a very big inspiration. And he always left me with those two quotes if you really think about whenever I went on the train.
That's good.
Speaking of training, what do you think is one of the biggest mistakes that you're seeing in the fitness industry today?
That is difficult for me to say. Um, I I wouldn't be the kind of person to point my finger at anyone and say that there's a big mistake there, because a lot of people are trying to achieve a different thing. It's I'm trying to think of things that I've seen. It's personally, I think it's all about, you got to make sure that you're making yourself happy. And sure. I think that's down more to an individual level. If you are training and starving yourself just because you want to look a certain way for society, then, I mean, is that making you happy is the question you need to ask yourself. And what makes you happy? You can do both. You can look great and be fit and also be happy. And I think that's something which maybe a lot of us have started to key into a bit more since the pandemic and having to look inwards by being inside for so long. But I wouldn't ever want to point the finger at anyone and say that people are making a mistake there. I don't think I have enough experience to be calling people out for being wrong.
That's a good answer. Currently, we're at 70% of America, which is obese or overweight.
Okay.
What needs to happen in this country to lower the obesity rate? What do you think is the biggest thing that we're overlooking, or what needs to be done in essence to lower that level?
I think, well, I mean, one thing which I can say that has changed my experience is knowledge. It's the education of it. And that is it's also a bit easier said than done. But if people know how things are affecting them, then they can make that change. What is often, I assume, a reason for a lot of people not to be healthier and get into the physical realm is because they just don't have the knowledge. They don't have the science, if you will. And so it's massively intimidating to be like, and it's then easy to say, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. It seems like too much hard work, and all the rules are changing all the time. I don't know whether I'm supposed to drink milk or not supposed to drink milk, or eat meat and not fats. And it's all very confusing. So I can see why people will avoid it. But I think education is the most important thing. I think giving people the tools to make their own decisions wisely is the step forward.
You know, you bring up a very interesting point, because you see a lot of dietitians can't agree, and that confuses people. When there's confusion with education, people are saying, what should I absorb? What shouldn't I absorb? And it leaves people saying, you know what? They just throw their hands up and say, I'm not going to do anything today. I'm just going to eat what I want and go back to doing what I want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not easy. And also, everyone's bodies are different. Just because for one person, a ketogenic diet will work does not mean that for person B, it is going to work. And we see that. And sometimes it changes as well. What worked for you 10 years ago doesn't work anymore. And that's
so
the nature of the body doing its thing. And it's also personal. It's also individual. And education is going to help.
Now, with overcoming obstacles, we get a lot of obstacles, you know, with training, you know, the hamstring injury, we get day-to-day obstacles that we go through. What's one message you can give people struggling with overcoming obstacles, maybe with training or just life in general?
It's so difficult to give advice to people because everything is so relative. And I did read a book recently, Man's Search for Meaning. And there was one wonderful quote in there, which it's all about a gentleman who was in the concentration camps. And he was comparing his experience to the person next to him, his experience. And it's Dr. Viktor Frankl. And he was also looking at the people who were on the other side of the fence who had absolutely no food. And he was comparing his experience to theirs. And one thing he said is that suffering is like a gas. No matter what, it'll fill the room. No matter the size of it, it'll fill the room. And so it is something that we all need to remember, that what we may be feeling is very personal, and it's up to us personally to get over it. Don't compare it to the next person. Don't say, I shouldn't be feeling this because that's way worse, or my thing is way worse than that person's thing. Therefore, I'm in a worse position. It's all personal. And so for me, it's very difficult to give anyone advice because of that reason. It's so personal, and it's all about just making sure you can come out of it with some pride in yourself. And that's the important thing, I think. The only thing we can take with us is our integrity. It's not money, it's not riches, it's not possessions, it's nothing like that. It's not even our friends, but our integrity will be remembered for that.
Speaking personally, if you can go back and coach a younger version of yourself, what would you work on and why?
I would work on the confidence in my capacity and what I am capable of. I've learned that I'm physically capable of a lot more than I thought I was from a young age. And I would go back and help inform myself about what my potential was. And so I could be at an earlier stage or at a better stage earlier than what I am now, potentially. But it's always the go back and coach oneself question always starts getting into my sci-fi fantasy brain. I'm like, don't mess with the timeline. It's going okay. But yeah, it would be about self-confidence in my potential and my abilities.
Now, with all that you've accomplished, how would you define what it is you're seeking?
Good question. How would I define what it is? Something that the pandemic taught me, something that being at home has taught me, is that I want to start focusing on doing the things that really make me happy, whether it be choice of roles, whether it be my capacity within whatever project I'm on. I want to be emotionally stimulated into a positive place on each and every job. I have the great fortune of being in a very exciting industry and having achieved a certain place in that industry, and it should be fun, and so should life. And so it's all about for me, what I want to achieve, I would define it by making myself happy. That those are my goals. It's all about happiness first, and I really want to make everyone else happy around me. That's one thing I've learned about myself, but I've got to be careful about doing that to the detriment of myself.
So true. Happiness is happiness can either make us or break us. Sometimes you say,
yep.
What's the legacy you want to leave?
I don't know necessarily if there's a particular legacy that I want to leave. What I would like to do is make sure that all of my nephews and nieces and grandnephews and nieces, and maybe even children and grandchildren, whenever that happens, that they have a support base. So no matter how big they dream, they know that they can go for it. And if they stumble, if they fall, if they do not achieve that dream, then it's not all doomed, that they can have some kind of support. And their parents can have a financial base to draw from for the building of dreams. That's the kind of thing which I want to leave behind, and I'm working towards.
Well, Henry, it was an honor to speak with you today, and I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, and likewise. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry.
That's going to wrap this up for today's episode. A big thank you to Henry Cavill for sitting down with us for such a great conversation and sharing with us about MuscleTech's mission. If you enjoyed this week's episode, be sure to follow, leave a review, and listen up for new episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Jay Cardiello, and this has been Stories of Strength, personal and inspirational tales that redefine strength, presented by MuscleTech.